This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. And just one more big shout out to KFOY Radio for America, 1060 AM in Reno. We are so thrilled to have you guys. I hope you're loving the show. We have a lot of fun every single day. And we're just thrilled that you can be a part of it. And another big shout out to the GM there, Greg Holcomb, and Lotus Broadcasting for bringing us to the listeners in Reno. All right, now, this is something we usually do on Tuesdays. We call it 2A Tuesdays. A lot of people misunderstand. They think it's 2A Tuesdays. It's 2A as in Second Amendment. We bring on Toby Leary. He's a gun expert from Cape Cod, from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. And he joins us and he answers all of your questions, whether it be about a kind of gun, a kind of ammunition, whether it be about licensing, whether it be about certain politicians and where they stand on these topics. This is the time to get your questions answered. The number is 844-500-4242. And the text line is 617-213-1066. Start the text with the word Curley, C-U-R-L-E-Y. Very impressed with how many people have already swapped over to the new text line. Been loving those messages. All right, now he's back from Hawaii. Toby's back. Toby, did you bring the rooster home with you?
Unfortunately not. I left the rooster there to go on, and I think I made a disciple, and it's going on and preaching the good news of why it's important to have a firearm to defend yourself or a loved one there in the hostile gun ownership state of Hawaii. But
he sounds like a MAGA Republican rooster is now set loose in Hawaii.
Yeah, and there's many of them. So there's everywhere you look out there. And so anyway, not to be confused, I found it ironic that the week I was there, Kamala Harris was on the same island on Kauai visiting with Mark Zuckerberg. And I had to remind myself that cackling rooster wasn't around the corner. So,
well, I'm sure you got invited to Mark Zuckerberg's home. It has a big wall built around it. Or you got invited to paddleboard with Barack Obama. I don't know why you wouldn't, Toby. So it's unfortunate you declined their invitation. But we're happy to have you back here in Massachusetts. And the number, if anyone wants to ask Toby a question, is 844-500-4242. But before I throw it to the listeners, I would love, Toby, for you to explain to people, because now what we're dealing with is Maura Healey is running for governor against Jeff Diehl. And I would love for you to explain to the listeners Maura Healey's past stances on issues regarding the Second Amendment.
Yeah, you know, this is not to sound like every other alarmist politician out there when they start talking about fight for American democracy and all of this stuff, but this is a truly hostile actor against your constitutional rights, the Second Amendment, which is in most people's, constitutionalist minds, one of the most important rights because it does protect all of the other rights. So because of the Second Amendment, we are able to hold our government in check and say, no, that's too far. You're not going to cross those lines. Now, I feel like we've given them way too much slack, if you will. But on the other hand, Maura Healey is a hostile actor when it comes to the Second Amendment. She has single-handedly, and I got to give her credit for this because it was amazing what was done on 7/20/2016 when she declared war on certain weapons and basically enacted the 94 assault weapons ban and expanded the definition of it. We already had it made permanent in this state, and she expanded the definition and erased almost 20 years of history in this state of how we sold guns, how we bought guns, how we owned guns, and basically said no more. It's not going to happen anymore. Any gun that I consider to be a duplicate or similar to guns that are banned by the assault weapons ban, forget what features it has and forget how it's manufactured for sale in banned states. I say no more. And everybody else stood there and applauded her. She acted as judge, jury, and executioner, and as all three branches of government, as the legislative branch, as the executive branch that she is a part of, and as the judicial branch by redefining and interpreting how the law was originally written. And everybody backed her up. There was also the Boston Police Department stood behind her and said, we don't really take these guns off of violent criminals on the streets of Boston, but this is going to make everybody safer. Even though it's really a problem in search of a, it's a solution in search of a problem. But because of her history, it does make every freedom-loving Massachusetts resident very nervous about what would happen should she, in fact, take that corner office and have a legislature that is so willing to ban guns as well. And she has made no, she hasn't made it a secret what her true intentions are. And when we were closed down during the COVID pandemic, the federal government recognized gun stores as an essential business. And she said, oh, no, you don't. Gun stores are not essential businesses. And one day after the federal guidelines came out, she made sure that they got rewritten to exclude gun shops, which she had to give a long explanation to federal Judge Woodlock about why she would ban an enumerated right during the pandemic, which most states did not. But so she is definitely a hostile actor when it comes to your gun rights and your as a Massachusetts resident. And we don't think that the state could recover from that type of, you know, it would take a long time to make a lot. It's already taken too long to make the wrongs that she's done right. And we still have a long way to go. So let's not give it any more potential of happening and our rights further eroding in this state. But vote for a strong 2A candidate like Jeff Thiel. That's the biggest contrast in the history of my voting lifetime in Massachusetts.
And if you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks. He's laying out for us why Maura Healey would be such a bad choice for governor of Massachusetts. And Toby, if she wanted to look at some muses in other states and gain some inspiration for new things, new ways she could punish gun owners in Massachusetts, she could just look to New York, because I'm going to read you a tweet here and I would love your reaction. And then I promise after this, for the rest of the show, we go to all the callers for Toby Leary. But I have to read you this tweet from Governor Kathy Hochul. Everyone needs to do their part to combat gun violence. And then she tags American Express, MasterCard, and Visa and says that they should categorize firearm purchases and flag suspicious activity just like they do for millions of other transactions. Together we can help stop gun trafficking and keep New Yorkers safe. So she's encouraging these big credit card companies to flag activity regarding anything relating to guns. What do you make of this, Toby?
Well, it's actually just a repackaged tactic, and that's something that a lot of people don't realize about the firearms industry. It has had a history of being assaulted on many fronts, not just like a legislative or a political or even a judicial front, but there's been other regulatory tactics employed by government officials. Obama did this very well with his, he had this operation that he put into place where he would make it reclassify firearms industry the same as high risk industries like the pornography industry or marijuana industry or strip joints, et cetera, so that the firearms industry couldn't get traditional financing through FDIC banks. So this was something that happened for a while there, and the Trump administration ended that practice. But here it is kind of being repackaged and basically saying that, oh, credit card companies should be flagging these, and so putting extra burden or extra regulation upon credit card companies. So they get to the point where they say, you know what, I don't want to do business with the firearms industry. It's not worth the trouble. Or making it cost prohibitive for the firearms industry to do business with certain people because we're in a higher risk group now, and that, you know, they, meanwhile, on the regulatory side of the industry, guns have never been more regulated in the history of our country. You have to go through a lot of hoops, a lot of steps. Even in constitutional carry states, you're still subject to a background check. You're still subject to, you know, possible delays by the FBI, et cetera, et cetera. And whereas 40, 50 years ago, you could order a gun through the mail and out of a magazine, out of a Sears Roebuck catalog, and it would come to your door. So the bottom line is, even with all the restrictions and regulations and all the hoops that we have to jump through, they're trying to make it even more painful. They're trying to make it so you can sue firearms manufacturers for making a product and people using it as designed, but then when some criminal element steals it and uses it in a crime, they want to make it so you can sue them. They want to make it so that there's all kinds of other regulatory burdens along the way, so that they restrict it to the point where people, it's cost prohibitive with undue taxes on ammunition or taxes on certain types of firearms, where they're taxing it to so it's out of reach. And, you know, it's one of the many tactics that resurfaces every couple of years. And but it's a full court press right now. And so I'm sure Maura Healey would pull out all the stops, just like Harshbarger did, Luther Scott Harshbarger, back in the day when he was running for governor. He was an anti-gun candidate who wanted to ban private ownership of handguns. And fortunately, he lost in a very narrow election to Paul Cellucci. So I'm hoping that the good people of Massachusetts who believe in their right to keep and bear arms will not go down that same path as Governor Hochul and everything else by electing someone like Maura Healey, but will instead throw their support behind a strong 2-8 candidate.
When we come back, Toby Leary is going to take all of your calls. I'm sorry I hogged him for this first segment here, but I had to get that stuff off my plate. It's 844-500-4242. We'll take all your calls for Toby when we come back. The Democrat surveillance state is here. I just read you that text or that tweet from Governor Kathy Hochul. Big Brother would look at this and say, "Whoof. This looks rough for you guys." It's crazy what's happening. And I haven't even gotten into the 87,000 new armed, that's right, armed non-law enforcement IRS agents who are going to be combing through your Venmo transactions. Why does America need that? The liars said no new taxes on individuals making under 400K. We paid attention to the 400K and they slipped this in under our noses. They will soon control all aspects of your life with armed agents rummaging through every dime you spent. Friends, this is no joke. This is for real. You traded thousands of hours of time building your nest egg, and now you have to protect it. You need this now. Monetary Gold's new guide, 5 Money Mistakes That Could Crush Your Retirement in the Next 6 Months. Call Monetary Gold now. There's no time to delay. 888-617-7994. So get 5 Money Mistakes That Could Crush Your Retirement in the Next 6 Months. Again, that's 888-617-7994. Time is of the essence. We'll be back with your calls for Toby Leary on 2-Way Tuesdays. The number is 844-500-4242. Your calls coming up next.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. We have Toby Leary on the line. He's going to take all your gun questions. And I just want to read a text here from 917. 917 writes, Hochul also banned houses of worship from having armed congregants. Small synagogues cannot afford security. I would also like to add in that in Times Square, they're putting up gun-free zone signs, which I don't know if that's going to fix the problem, Toby. What do you think?
Oh, it's all been fixed. Now that they put those signs up that say gun-free zones, we know you are safe and secure because gun-free zones have worked so well in our country. And obviously, I'm being facetious, but gun-free zones are probably one of the most dangerous places in America, if you ask me, especially the ones that don't take your security and safety seriously, like in schools. Obviously, airports do a very good job of making sure people are disarmed because they have metal detectors and baggage screening and all that. But a lot of times when they claim it's a gun-free zone, there's no way to ensure that. I believe it was Kentucky that said, if you want to declare yourself a gun-free zone, then you must put into place a system that will ensure the people's safety because you've disarmed them. So now that they don't have a means to defend themselves, then you're going to have to ensure that they won't have to. And I think that's great law and great legislation if you're going to declare something a gun-free zone. You better make sure, and it should be on whoever owns the building or whoever wants to declare it a gun-free zone, it should be on them to ensure the safety. And it should even open them up to lawsuits if they don't, because they have taken away your very means of protecting yourself.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Toby. We're going to go to the callers here. 2A Tuesdays is sponsored by Fairway Financial and Cape Cod's retirement income specialist, Steve Anzoni. Go to fairwayfinancial.net. That's fairwayfinancial.net. John, you're the first caller today on 2A Tuesdays. Go ahead, John. Are you there, John? All right, we'll try to get John back. Let's go to Dale. You're next up with Toby Leary. Go ahead, Dale.
Hey, Grace, love the show. I've been listening just for a little while now. One of the guys I worked with turned me on to you guys. I love the show.
Thank you
guys for everything you do every day.
Thank you so much.
So I had a question for Toby. I'm trying to get everyone in my house armed, but my son has a kind of a minor felony, I guess they call it, for street racing. And we're wondering, it was like his sixth time. I mean, kids, what are you going to do, right? But can he still get an LTC or an FID card with a felony on his record?
I don't believe so. If you're, and this is crazy because there's a number of felonies that are.
Toby, I'm sorry. Toby, I want to clarify here for the audience because I'm kind of confused. He say that again, Dale. You street racing like with a car?
He was street racing with a car, yes. And he had gotten caught like six times.
And
they actually hit him with because he doesn't listen, and they actually charged him with a felony driving violation, and it's on his record. We looked it up. It is a felony.
All right, I'm sorry, Toby, go ahead. I just had to wrap my head around that one. Go ahead, Toby. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, well, believe it or not, there's a lot of driving violations that you can be charged with a felony on, and a felony, I believe that disqualifies him in Massachusetts for sure. I don't know about on the federal level. And I believe if you could be jailed for more than 2 years, then you cannot get a firearm. It makes you a prohibited person. So I believe that's the threshold, is if the potential for your crime was that you could be, if convicted, you could be in prison for 2 years, then you won't be able to get a, it might even be 2.5 as far as the federal level and 2 years as far as the state. I might be getting those confused. But it deals with the amount of length of time that you can be put into prison for. And so a felony conviction, certainly, it doesn't necessarily mean if you've been charged with a felony, but if you've been convicted of a felony and you could be in prison for 2.5 years, then I believe that you are now a prohibited person for life, which you might want to talk to a lawyer about getting that case reopened and getting that knocked down to a misdemeanor.
Thanks for the call, Dale, and thanks for listening to the show. That one to me, Toby, makes sense. I mean, six times you're caught street racing, there's going to be consequences.
Yes, but there's also this element of at 17, your brainstem isn't fully connected, and when that kid is 45 years old and gone on to lead a perfectly normal life and he's a good, productive member of society, why should he be banned from owning a gun, right? At some point, you've paid your debt to society. Your rights should be restored, as far as I'm concerned.
All right, 844-500-4242. More questions for Toby when we come back.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. We are talking to Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks in Hyannis. And the number, if you want to call in, is 844-500-4242. I stand by how I feel about that last caller. We got to get the Fast and the Furious, the Tokyo Drifting, the drag racing or car racing, whatever you call it. We got to get that under control first, and then we'll worry about everything else. Ed, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. What's your question for Toby, Ed?
Yeah, hi. This is in a how extreme I believe Mara Healy is. You can buy a model 1911 from, which is a handgun, from Massachusetts dealer, but Massachusetts is the only state that bans the 1911 when you try to purchase it from a federal outlet, which is called CMP. What is interest that makes this more restrictive or confusing for us citizens is that the CMP is also a FFL dealer, which means you have to pass two background checks even to get it, which is pretty extensive research they do on you. And this is even kind of what really makes it real difficult for Massachusetts people is I have a federal C&R license, and Massachusetts won't honor that for the federal 1911. But I could go down to a Massachusetts gun shop and buy a 1911, just not one from the government.
Yeah, Toby, you want to respond to that?
It's not really mud, right, Ed?
Yeah, it's not really a question, but go ahead.
No, it's clear as mud, and I think he's right in that the politicians of the past, including Mara Healy in this, have wanted to make it so nuanced to get a gun in this state, not to mention just to get licensed in this state. Like, we're one of the few states that you can't just walk into a gun store and buy a gun with a driver's license and they do a federal background check on you and you get the gun at the end of the transaction. You have to have what's known as a firearms ID card or a license to carry that the state issues after doing extensive background check. And then when you go down to buy a gun, they do another background check every time you buy the gun. But what they are purposely doing, and if you look at the Freedom of Information Act that Gun Owners Action League requested from the state when Scott Harshbarger was enacting this consumer protection law as it relates to firearms, there was tons of memo that just said, oh, this will make it harder for people to buy guns. It had nothing to do with making the people of Massachusetts safer. It had everything to do with making your purchase of your constitutionally protected firearm and right harder to do, more hoops, more layers, more cost, more time. And that was the end result, to make it harder for you to exercise your right to keep and bear arms. And Ed, you just laid it out very clearly how nuanced that is and how confusing it is and, you know, how restrictive it is for a right that says shall not be infringed.
And Toby, I'd love to ask you, and I know you talked about this a little bit when you were nice enough to fill in for me recently, but Joe Biden is going to these campaign stops. He's trying to rally voters for, you know, his choice of candidates. It's not really working. A lot of people are going down in the polls when he comes and supports them. But one thing that he's been saying, and he's said this multiple times in the past, is that the argument to have a gun in order to, you know, protect yourself from the government or, you know, he said you'd need an F-15 to take on the government. What do you make of that? And what do you say to people who kind of demean the intent behind the Second Amendment?
Well, just at the very outset of that statement, it shows the contempt for our Constitution that our politicians really do have. Because there's no mistake that the founding fathers who had just sent the British back across the sea to Great Britain in the formation of our new country, the reason we had the right to keep and bear arms was to be able to overthrow a tyrannical government. That was number one
on their list when they enacted or gave us or recognized the constitutional right as it pertains. And it's given by God. It says the laws of nature and of nature's God. That's what it says. And that's the wording. They're acknowledging that the right to self-defense is the most basic human right. And that includes against our tyrannical government. So when a politician says, oh, you think you can fight against us? You don't have an F-15. You don't have nuclear weapons. It shows their disdain for the very rights that are granted to us by our Creator and were recognized by our founders, number one. Number two, they're talking out both sides of their mouth. They're saying the AR-15 is a weapon of war, and you can't be trusted with it. Nobody needs an assault weapon. Nobody needs a 30-round magazine. And then on the other side of their mouth, they're saying, what do you think you're going to do against the government with your little gun, right? You can't fight against the government with your little gun. And so, meanwhile, they're also supportive of Ukraine handing out true assault weapons to their citizens to go fight the Russians, right? It's an amazing amount of jumping the shark, if you will, to say that they want it every which way but Sunday. They say the gun is ineffective against your government, but then here's an assault weapon, go fight the Russians. They say you can't fight against your government because you don't have F-15s and nuclear weapons, but they want to take your AR-15s away against the people who aren't the problem. The problem is the criminal element that these same politicians create the environment where they can flourish with no bail, low bail, you know, soft on crime policies in these inner cities where gun ownership is highly restricted and hard to exercise your right to keep and bear arms. So they talk out of every which side of their mouth and want to have it every which way so that they can narrate to you what it is that they want you to do. It's all about control. And truly, I think they're scared, and they really know their time is short. But most people, most Americans, are in fact supportive of the Second Amendment for all the right reasons. And I think that just listen to their words; they defeat their own argument with their own words. Is the way I see it.
Yeah, and I would add to that, Toby, if you're talking about the contradictory nature of what they're saying. If you need an F-15 to overthrow the government, then don't try to turn around and tell me that a few grandmas walking through the Capitol on January 6th put us on the edge of democracy being gone forever. Those two things don't add up either. Right. One thing we had touched upon a few weeks ago, but we didn't really spend too much time on it, but I would love to know if you have any updates for us, is this story, and I'm reading here from the Daily Caller, that the FBI secretly pressured Americans into signing forms that relinquish their rights to own, purchase, or even use firearms, according to a trove of internal documents. The forms were presented by the FBI to people at their homes and in other undisclosed locations, according to Bureau documents unearthed through the FOIA by the firearms rights groups Gun Owners of America. At least 15 people between 2016 and 2019 signed the secret forms, which asked signatories to declare themselves as either a danger to themselves or others or lacking mental capacity adequately to contract or manage their lives. Toby, have you been following this story, and what do you make of it?
You know, it's funny. It's open in my browser as we speak, but I haven't got a chance to dive deep into that. But it's very congruent with the way that the government views firearms ownership. Even in Massachusetts, we have the Department of Criminal Justice is the one that, you know, administers your license to carry. I always found that interesting, even from when I was 18 years old and first became a firearms owner. I'm like, why does the Department of Criminal Justice need to be the one that administers my license to carry? I'm not a criminal. But that's so it seems to be the way that they view you. Even look at New York City, where this document leaked out that anyone carrying a gun should be considered carrying unlawfully unless they can prove otherwise. Like, whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty? But now all of a sudden we got to prove that we are lawfully carrying guns, even though, that's the way the justice system works in this country. Is not, I don't have to prove my innocence. It's your job to prove I'm guilty if you think I'm doing something wrong. But it is a very minority report type of world we're starting to enter into when you see the FBI secretly force some people to give up their rights by having them sign document. And going back to the prior caller, Dale, this is what government wants. They want someone to get jammed up on some sort of nonviolent felony so that they can throw the book at them and make them a prohibited person for life. They just took their enumerated rights away for the rest of their life, and that makes them happy because some politicians view you, the law-abiding, responsible gun owner, as a threat, or someday you will be on the other side of the law, and they're going to have to deal with you because you own a gun, and they've changed the law enough or confused the issue that they need to come get your gun. And that, I think, is a very scary thing for government to look at responsible, law-abiding citizens that way. So it comes as no surprise that the FBI has been engaged in that activity, and I'll look into it further for you.
I absolutely agree. Toby, please tell people where they can find you and where they can visit you at Cape Gun Works.
Yeah, well, we'd love to have you guys come down to Cape Gun Works in Hyannis and join us in the shop. We're in Hyannis, Massachusetts, or online at capegunworks.com. You can always listen to us on our radio show, which is rapidfireradio.us, or you can also listen to it at capegunworks.com. And we have a shooting competition coming up this Saturday. This is the last week to enter the Top Shot Invitational, so you can find more out about that if you want to come on down with your squad and join into a great event that's going to support some local charities. We'd love to have you join us for the Top Shot Invitational. And as always, you can find us here for 2A Tuesday, even though it's Wednesday, but it feels like a Tuesday. So we'll be here next week for sure. And anytime you need me, Grace, there I am.
Thank you so much to Toby Leary. We love having you on. You know, I've been talking to friends lately, and sometimes you have to get somebody a gift. And you ever find yourself saying, well, what do you get somebody who has everything? And a lot of people, as they get older, they don't want more stuff. You know, they don't want more crap. They want something they're actually going to use. And so I have a really good gift idea for people. And that would be the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. It's the perfect gift to give to someone who doesn't want, you know, another candle. They don't want another gift card. They want something they can plug in, use, and see working every single day. I can tell you it's what people really want because Paul Rizzo has one. He just got the 3-pack for his new winter home. It's a great value. Again, it's a 3-pack, so you're not just getting one. If you want to keep one, give one as a gift. Maybe give two as a gift, but you want to keep one for yourself, you can do that as well. It takes care of odors that could be pet, tobacco, or musty basement smells. It also can relieve allergies, and the safe ozone technology destroys up to 99.9% of air pollutants. Here's my favorite part. You plug it right into the wall. It doesn't take up any floor space. I don't need anything in my house. I have a small house, and I need all the room I can get, so I plug that into the side of the wall. I barely notice it's there, except I do notice how great the air smells, and it just smells like, as Jared always says, the absence of smell. You're not getting any musty odors. Keeps things circulating. There's no air filters to replace. It saves you time and money. So get the 3-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com. Put in code word Howie3. You can use a couple for yourself and maybe give one as a gift. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Code word Grace3. Shipping is free. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
She's a master at pouncing, weaponizing, and seizing.
To give you a reference point, I'm somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And a panther.
She's Grace Curley.
Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. If you want to hear an interview I did with Justin Manning on Friday, on Monday, I thought it was a good interview. He explains the process. You can just go to gracecurlyshow.com and listen to that podcast. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who do you think will be out next at CNN? Don Lemon, Brianna Keeler, John Berman, Allison Camerota, or Jim Acosta?
I'm going to vote for Don Lemon because I think his final strike was asking S.E. Cupp if she had mommy brain. That, to me, in the woke halls of CNN, is a fireable offense. What say you, Howard?
I think he's got multiple protections. I think he is not to the KJP status, but just below that, being black and gay.
So who are you voting
for? And very stupid.
So who are you voting for?
Who are my other options? I was looking at some other stuff.
Jim Acosta. I think that's the second.
I keep telling him he should change his name back to Abelio or whatever his real first name is if he wants protection. That's the only way he survives.
Howie, something that I didn't have time to play today.
Jim Acosta is in the lead at 44%. Don Lemon at 40%.
Call him Abelio.
Abelio Acosta in the lead at 44%.
Now, muchas gracias.
Now, Howie, I know today you're going to be talking a lot about the races that we're seeing, including Massachusetts, but also John Fetterman. That race is getting more and more peculiar as he's dodging debates. But something I wanted to ask about, not having to do with these races, is a comment from Hillary Clinton. Because on one hand, she told us, I'm not going to run for president, which I think we all had a nice sigh of relief. But she's...
Do you believe her? I don't believe her for an instant.
I feel like we're getting kind of close for her to be still lying to us. But I wanted to play you this cut because this is going to drive you crazy. This is Hillary Clinton on beating Donald Trump, cut 14.
Was I happy when I beat Donald Trump by nearly 3 million votes but lost the Electoral College? No, I was not happy. Did I even for a nanosecond think I'm going to claim victory and try to get the Democrats to refuse to certify the election? No.
What was Jill Stein up to? Although Jill Stein raised tens of millions of dollars. I don't know what happened to all that money, but I think she was acting as a Hillary surrogate when she was trying to overturn all the election results in the swing states.
Yeah, Molly Hemingway wrote in The Federalist, in fact, within hours, she instructed her team to lean into the Russia collusion hoax she bought and paid for. She tried to force electors to hear her disinfo operation prior to their vote. In Dem intel officers' leak and sabotage campaign was in high operation in December and January.
Remember Jill Stein said that the Russians had hacked into the Michigan voting system when it was all paper ballots? It's very difficult to hack into paper ballots. That are in boxes from Moscow.
Howie, what do you have planned for the show today?
Just all kinds of different stuff, Grace. We'll be taking all sorts of questions, and I think we're going to be doing a lot of Brandon cuts as well, the usual stuff.
Yeah, Joe Biden was at the White House today with his former BFF, Barack Obama.
Yes, a new portrait was being unveiled.
How many portraits does Barack have? I mean, every month.
How many portraits, how many memoirs, how many Emmys, how many Grammys? How many Oscars has he won? Has he got a few Oscars? And the Nobel Peace Prize for droning American citizens in foreign lands without due process?
So what did Joe have to introduce him? I hope Barack didn't ignore him this time like he did last time. Remember when he kept tapping Barack on the shoulder and Barry wouldn't turn around and say hello? I hope it went better today for Joe Biden.
I'm glad that they were able to escape the rising sea level at Martha's Vineyard today, too. Because we always have to worry about that. By the way, did you see we had some rain the last couple of days?
I noticed.
And now they're saying, well, you know, this is an example of we get bigger rainfalls than we used to get. And guess what caused it?
Climate change.
You got it. Extreme weather, global cooling, global warming.
Is
there anything it can't do? I mean, if it's a cloudy day, it's more clouds.
How dare you?
More sun, ditto. Rain, same thing.
You know, I didn't think we got
more hurricanes, fewer hurricanes. It's all caused by global warming.
I didn't think we got that much rain this summer. I was actually kind of pleased to get some rain. I was happy for the grass. 844.
That was global warming too.
844-500-4242. Howie Carr is coming up next. You're not going to want to miss this show. It's a big one. We'll be back tomorrow for our Friday Junior program. Over and out.